Our next speaker is J.P. Wyske. He's the State Affairs Director of the Council for Affordable Health Insurance.
Thank you. We all know when we take a look at the numbers and the news reports that we are seeing rising costs in the health insurance market. We've seen double digits in past years. Some of them have seemed to have mitigated a little bit, but they're still significantly higher than the overall cost of inflation. We're also seeing, and these are the most recent census numbers, that not coincidentally that fewer employers are offering health insurance coverage as well. We also know that the uninsured rate is rising, or rather the number of people uninsured. It certainly hasn't hit the peak of 1998, where we had 16.3% uninsured, but it is certainly an issue that we're seeing broadly across the country. What's interesting, though, is when you take a look at the uninsured, and this is something that we seem to miss in this discussion, is we never seem to discuss who the uninsured are. We have some assumptions that they're this, you know, monolithic, they're all poor, they're all, whatever. But, in fact, there's a wide variety, a wide disparity in the uninsured. Obviously, as it indicates up there, most of the uninsured are poor. But certainly a growing segment, and an increase in this last census, is the number of people who are uninsured of incomes over $75,000. Yes, the young are more disproportionately uninsured than the older individuals are, but you can see that there's certainly a significant portion of the uninsured who are also older as well. Hispanics are probably the highest group with the uninsured rates. And what's also interesting is that we do see that the uninsured rate, that most of the uninsured are employed broadly. And we also, interesting enough, are seeing anecdotal evidence that individuals are, in fact, choosing not to participate in their employer plan. When we look at this, we need to understand what states can do and what states have looked at. Large group largely is out of state control. ERISA requirements don't allow states to do much. However, on the small group and individual sides, states are able to do quite a bit, and in fact have done quite a bit of damage, as a matter of fact, with mandated benefits, community rating, guarantee issue. There's some good things, high risk pools, and we'll get to those. This is based on a report from eHealth Insurance that looks at the overall cost in the market, in the individual marketplace. You can see when you look at the cost in Grand Rapids, Michigan at $159, and you look at Spokane, Washington at $962, you know, these are the same products. So there's a huge disparity in cost here. What's causing these differences? In a lot of cases, it's what states have done to the market themselves. In low-cost states, carriers underwrite, they're able to risk-adjust the premium, there's no guarantee issue requirements, they tend to have fewer mandated benefits, they have more choices in the marketplace, a lot of states have restricted choice, and they have high risk pools to help cover the uninsured, the chronically ill. In high-cost states, they do have community rating or modified community rating, guarantee issue, ton of mandates, fewer choices, and no high risk pools to cover those individuals. They're put into the broader private market. I wanted to pull some data from a 1998 report here, Variation in the Uninsured State and County Level Analysis. It's quite clear both in the small group market and in the individual market that community rating and guaranteed issue have helped cause the rising uninsured rate in a number of states. It makes costs go up and does little to help the subsidy that we need from the healthy individuals. Instead of looking at these broad market solutions, I would suggest another alternative is to take a look at the uninsured population and try to design benefit packages that are going to be attractive to those individuals. For example, and we'll talk about some of these a little bit more, chronically ill, you know, that's a strong concern with guarantee issue community rating. A number of states have been successful with high risk pools. The Invincibles, these are individuals who are young and healthy, who broadly stay out of the insurance market. Plan designs have been successful. Tonic program by Blue Cross Blue Shield of California has been extremely successful at targeting these individuals. The poor, targeted tax credits have shown some success. No group coverage. You know, we should be looking at an individual tax deduction. List billing, that's where the employer is able to, similar to the Section 125 plan, is able to help employees purchase health insurance. They don't contribute to the premium, but individuals overall are able to payroll deduct their premiums. Health savings accounts have shown great success at targeting the uninsured. Recent state data from eHealth Insurance indicates that in the younger age group, almost 50% of the individuals purchasing health savings accounts were previously uninsured. In older populations, 60 plus, 30% were previously uninsured. So we're seeing both spectrums of the market there as well. Mandate light plans, tax credits and subsidies help as well. A little bit on high risk pools, because New York does not have one. The high risk pool provides access to individuals who have chronic conditions. They're usually rejected in the individual market or have rates that would exceed a certain threshold in the individual market, and they are able to obtain coverage in the high-risk pool. In fact, most states that have high-risk pools, there's very little state funding of the high-risk pool. It's funded by insurer assessments primarily, sometimes by provider discounts, and on occasion, some general-purpose revenue as well. A number of states, Montana and Oklahoma being two of them, have looked at premium subsidy plans for very small employers. The 2 to 5 size group have the biggest difficulty in finding insurance and keeping insurance and making it affordable. These programs have been fairly successful. They're new. The money has, in fact, all been allocated in these plans on a very quick basis, but they do target them specifically at small businesses who have not purchased insurance before. Tennessee, this is a very interesting program and something to take a look at, because what Tennessee did, and as was alluded to before, we had a 10-care program, which was, again, a one-size-fits-all kind of government program that had huge problems and huge implications. What Tennessee did is they took a step back and said, how can we solve these problems piecemeal? Let's target these solutions to the people who need them. So they created a high-risk pool. They created Cover Tennessee, another program to help the uninsured, the poor uninsured. And they looked at the Cover Kids, their own version of SCHIP as well. And they're also providing subsidized prescription care as well. Durago, you know, I know Taryn's done quite a bit of work and would suggest you take a look at some of his work on Durago as well. This has been an unmitigated disaster, and if you hear otherwise, it's just simply not true. And the quote in the bottom pretty much says it all. You know, they spent an insane amount of money to cover very few people who were previously uninsured. Most of the people who have purchased the program have been were previously insured. And what's even more interesting is I was told by an individual from Assurant Health Insurance, who is in the market selling health savings accounts, is they actually have more people who were previously uninsured who have purchased HSAs in Maine than this subsidized government program. Arkansas has also created its own safety net program. It's in the process of being implemented. It's a bare-bones style benefit plan that's intended to find a way to help small businesses and individuals who have been uninsured to help find insurance. Mandate light insurance plans, we looked at these across the country. I would, you know, admit that uptake on these is broadly rather low, but it is certainly an important option for people who are priced out of the insurance market. Mandated benefits, and we've done reports on this, you can download them at khi.org. If you're interested, we cover the mandates in all 50 states and price them, as a matter of fact. Substantially increased costs in the marketplace. And some of the coverages are not necessary to a bare bones style plan. Reinsurance, we're seeing states broadly who are looking at different reinsurance programs. I would highlight a couple of issues with these. Voluntary reinsurance pools essentially allow carriers to cede a risk, to send a risk to a pool, and then they share the risk among the participating carriers. They haven't necessarily been all that successful, but they do provide some benefit to attracting smaller carriers who may not be able to afford to come into a new marketplace and take on an extremely high risk. One of the new models that we've seen states talk about is kind of creating a minimum coverage model and to say you have to have a certain level of minimum coverage, and then the state's going to reinsure over and above that. There is a broad and thriving reinsurance market that exists already that does this privately. And I'm not so sure that the state getting into the reinsurance market is the wisest move. And I'm afraid that if you were to get into this market, it would make the SNL bailout look like nothing because it would be extremely expensive, and these sorts of things can game the system pretty quickly. Tax credits alluded to before. I would highlight those two studies for you to take a look at the potential success of tax credits at insuring individuals. It's another alternative and allows individuals the choice of the kind of benefit plans that they're looking for rather than the state telling them what, in fact, they should be buying. And just wanted to highlight our website, and there's plenty to download. One of the books that I think was out there broadly available, The Destroying Insurance Markets, that talks specifically about guarantee issue and community rating, that's gone now, is available on our website for free for download as well. And we have pieces on a variety of these issues in more detail on single-payer systems, Durago, Massachusetts, Healthy New York, and list billing as well. Thank you.
Thank you, JP.